about, when we talk about honor, when we talk about foolishness and lying. They don't seem to go together. The idea of being foolish in our behavior in life is certainly different than the idea of fatherhood. We think about a father's love, a father's kindness, a father's guidance. We're talking about a right way of doing things and good things. And we're not talking about something that is foolish and hurtful and harmful to our daily walk of life. When we talk about those type of things, we're talking about something that is worthwhile, something to be imitated. And fatherhood is certainly that way of life. You and I know that. We recognize that. How has the world at large gotten to the point of saying to us, hey, it's a way to do something different. It's a way to do it in an odd way, different than that. The fact of marriage and ideas, concept of fatherhood are hand in hand. But there's something different to be done about that. How do we get that idea? Perhaps it is the fact that we've been so busy we haven't seen the Heavenly Father's teaching about such matters. And as a result, we decide to go this way or that way in deciding to be the kind of people that we want to be in view of that fact instead of the way that God wants us to be in view of that fact. You see, when God wants us to be people who serve Him and be His children and have Him as a Heavenly Father, then it is the case that we are headed toward a different climb someday. We're headed toward a home of the soul. We're headed toward a way in which our Heavenly Father offers forgiveness to us and a wonderful blessing of eternal life. On the other hand, if we follow our own way and our own will, do our own thing, we'll find ourselves, well, like the wise man Solomon said, there are many devices in a man's heart, and the counsel of the Lord is what really needs to stand. We find ourselves foolishly following the counsel within our own heart. We find ourselves getting into trouble. On the other hand, the prudent man, Proverbs 27 verse 12, the prudent man foresees danger ahead, hideth or guardeth himself. The foolish pass on by and thereby are punished. The idea of being wise in seeing something coming up ahead and guarding ourselves is certainly characteristic of the prudent and wise man, and certainly a father, a wise father in that way. We find ourselves doing the Lord's will. We'll go eventually to a passage in Proverbs 20 and verse 7. In Proverbs 20 and verse 7, it speaks about a man who finds himself following a way of integrity. It is said, the man that walketh after integrity, his children will rise up and be blessed. Integrity. What is integrity? It is an idea of truth, and it's a mixture of the ideas of truth and practical, wise living. When we find ourselves with integrity, that means that we're telling the truth, we're people who live the truth, we're practicing a way of truth in our lives. When we find that, we find a hope of the soul. We find the right service of God. We find ourselves enjoying the presence of God in our lives. Our children find a blessing in that as well. Well, you see, our children rise up and call us blessed. Our children rise up and are greatly encouraged. Our finding ourselves in this way of life is to find our children being wonderful examples after us. When we see our dad walk in integrity, we see our dads being honest and dependable, truth-seeking, truth-worthiness. We find them to be the kind of people that if we follow the same path, doing the same thing, we'll find ourselves in the right way. My dad was in the Army. He was in Germany during World War II. And he noted to me one day that the safest way to walk out on the battlefield was to walk in the fella in front of you, his footsteps. If you follow in his footsteps, the landmines were not there. If they were there, they would have shown up in exploding that particular footprint. But if you followed in the footprint of the one in front of you, then you would be the safest person that you could be on the battlefield. When we look at the footprints of Jesus and we see the example that he left us, he did not leave us without that idea. I left you an example that you should follow in my steps, he noted. And in regard to that, when we walk in the footsteps of the Lord, aren't we walking in the most integrous man that ever walked on the face of the earth? That is, he had integrity in his ways, in his words, in his mannerisms, in his whole purpose of mind. Now here's the idea of where the word truth is a little bit different than the word integrity. It is true It is honest. It is worthwhile. But there's a little bit more to it that makes integrity what it is, different from truth, different from just wisdom, different from just walking in the right path of God. That word integrity carries within it the idea that an individual is walking something that can be imitated. It's a way of life that can be followed. It's a way of life that can be practiced, anticipating the same type of result. The idea of integrity is the idea of this is an example to follow. When a man is in business and he's filled with integrity, he finds himself representing the item that he's selling. If in fact he finds himself selling, let's just say, some tooth pliers, for example, but he knows that those pliers are not true tested pliers. He knows that those particular pliers are workable only up to the torque of a hand of about 60 pounds. When it gets above 60 pounds, those handles are going to bend. They're eventually perhaps going to break. They're going to shatter in his hand. They're not going to hold that bolt tightly enough. They're going to not to serve him well. They're going to disappoint him. Nevertheless, he sells them as though they are true tempered pliers. Is that an action of a man of integrity? And the answer is no. Integrity would say, I'll mark this bin and I'll tell you, not everybody that's putting the pliers onto some bolt need above 80 pounds of torque. Not everyone does that. It may be a little childish using that. They're playing with their tools. They play with their wagons. And they're using a little torque. It's much less than that. And so they can utilize this. And so he marks on that bin, this is a torque up to 60 pounds. Now, if a person is working on a large piece of equipment, working on something that is some kind of different size, and some kind of need of different strength, then he will mark this one worthy of 500 pounds of torque. Now, here is a tool that can be placed there, and this tool perhaps can have a companion tool to be put on it. And so there is a reaching process that can be done. That's enormous amount. 500 pounds of torque is being used to tighten this down. And it can be done with security, because the integrity of that bin of advertisement, that integrity said, this is the tool to use. Now, if a fellow walked in, he said, you know what? I don't believe I want to pay this amount of money for this kind of good metal, this kind of good torque, and this kind of good thing. What I want to do is I want to buy me a $1.99 plier over here. So he buys those pliers, and he begins to use them on his equipment. And he begins to get it. Now, maybe he can do small things with them, and it'll work fine, work well. And he does it good. But on the other hand, when he has a big job and a heavy load to be lifted, he finds that those pliers have bent on him. They're not holding well at all. And he brings them back to the man at the store. And he says, you know, these pliers did not function for me. These pliers just gave up in the middle of my job. And so the gentleman says there, what was your job? And he said, I was working on this 3-ton truck. I was working on this 3-ton tractor. But I want you to give me a refund on my pliers. Is it the fault of the man who advertised it with integrity that he had pliers that worked only on these small items? In this bin, this color, this price. But he had something much firmer, much stronger advertised in this other bin. And the knowledge of that was his integrity. He was advertising the integrity of it. You could depend upon it to work if you'd use this one. But this one, obviously, because more metal was involved, more tempering processes were involved, more artisan costs were involved, is going to cost a little more. Maybe a little bit more. But it's going to work for you. It's going to work for you every time. It's going to work for you on and on. And as a result, that was the one again. would I expect him to be obligated to pay me a return of $1.99 for the pliers that I mistook and misused in my job? Surely not. You know, it'll be acceptable to you and me to recognize that when a family is following the steps of a man of integrity, Proverbs 20, verse 7. And they're pretty sure that they follow that way and not be walking in harm's path. Isn't it a wonderful, wonderful thing to know that they come back and say, you know, when I did the same thing in the same way, I got the same good result. Isn't it a good thing to have that happen? It blesses a father's way of life, but his children are blessed by the process that they go through in life. May I plead with you today to think about your relationship to the Lord and following that way and ask you this great question. Are the steps you leave behind, would our children be safe in following the words that we say, the places we go, the things we do when no one else is watching, the activities that we plan for in our heart without prayer, the mannerisms of our life in relationship to our neighbors and friends? Would they be safe in walking those same steps? And note to you that all things are ready for you to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, to be the follower of our Lord in regard to coming into Christ. Repentance and baptism into Christ was the hallmark teaching of Acts 2 and 38 for the people on the day of Pentecost. Later on, the household of Cornelius, he was commanded to be baptized in water that he might enjoy that pleasure of being in the Lord in Acts 10, verse 48. So can you today begin that new journey? All things are ready for you to begin that way this morning. Our Lord Jesus loved his heavenly Father and said in John 12, verses 48 and 49, the following. He said, "No man, the words that I speak unto you, they will judge you in the last day. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." When Jesus said the words that he said, what was he teaching us? Listen to what he then went on to say in John 12 and 49, 50. "For the words I speak unto you are not my own, but my Father gave me these words. My Father gave me these commandments. Thus I speak them unto you." What's the Lord doing? He says, if you reject me and receive not my word, you're not just rejecting my word. You're not just refusing to walk in my steps. You are neglecting the word of him that sent me. For the Father that sent me told me to teach it this way and give it in these commands. And so it is that we're matching up, we're walking in the Heavenly Father's footsteps as we follow in Jesus' footsteps. The man filled with integrity, we find ourselves as his children, walking blessed.